Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, whenever we talk about things like relationships, dating, and singleness on Open House, the amount of feedback we get always reminds us that this is a hot topic and we should be doing something more about it. In fact, one of our Open House stations recently had a prayer campaign, and the most popular prayer request for that campaign was from singles wanting to find a partner. So tonight, we're biting the bullet. We're going to embark on a brand new series on this topic of singleness. We're going to kind of explore how to traverse the waters of singleness, whether you're 20, whether you're 50, whether you've never been married, whether you're widowed or divorced. We're going to look at things like dating, finding a spouse, even the topic of celibacy, but most importantly, simply being content as a single person before you actually run out there and try and find somebody else to live your life with. Maybe you're already happily paired up with somebody. I hope you're not going to switch off, because no doubt you're going to be finding plenty of things that you can learn during this series about how to better relate to the singles around you as well. Sandra Cavallo is joining us for the beginning of our series. She's 34, never married. She's a pastor at Bayside Church in Melbourne. So she has both the, I guess, the professional and the personal qualifications to be talking about this topic. She's also a singles columnist for Christian Woman magazine. And she joins us now. G'day, Sandra. Welcome.
Hello, Sheridan. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you for kind of launching this series for us. A little bit about you first. We don't require all of our guests on Open House to have personally experienced what they talk about, but in this case, you actually have.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect to be an expert on the topic, but it's turned out to be that at the moment. And I can definitely can relate to people who may be enjoying or struggling their singleness. For many singles, it feels a bit like a roller coaster ride, where one minute you're absolutely fine and enjoying life and you're getting out there and doing everything you want to do. And other times you're just completely depressed and lonely and wondering if Mr. Right or Mrs. Right's ever going to come along your scene. So it can definitely be a bit of a roller coaster ride, but I truly believe that you can iron out those up and down feelings.
Let's explore that single experience for a little bit then. What are the things singles hitting their late 20s in particular, early 30s perhaps, go through when they're reaching that age and yet still single?
Well, I think a lot of people in their 20s, let's start with early 20s, have an expectation of when they will be married. I mean, I certainly did. I thought by a certain age I would be married. And when it doesn't necessarily come about, and if they're approaching their late 20s and 30s and they're still single, one of the things that can happen is that hopelessness can set in. And so often I'm talking to people and really trying to focus them again on hope, that every day has a potential of meeting someone, every day has a potential of doing something, that hopelessness doesn't need to cloud their world. And so often I will be just encouraging people to keep their eyes fixed on the positive rather than on the negative.
In the past, there used to be this kind of horrible sentiment that if you're 30 and single, you're, quote, on the shelf. Is that still around?
Oh, look, I think definitely there is that feeling, but as you probably are aware, there is a lot more people now in their 30s single.
Exactly.
It's really quite amazing how many 30-year-olds are single now. And I don't think it has the same, I guess, stigma attached to it as, say, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, when most people definitely would have been married by their 30s.
When is the most lonely time for today's single person?
Oh, look, I think it can happen any time in any place. You could be at a wedding. You could be at a function or a dinner party where you are surrounded by other people, and it can just be you glance across and you look at a couple. And if that's the desire of your heart, if that's really where what you want, you know, you can feel lonely in a crowded room, so to speak. But at the same time, you could feel lonely just coming home at night. So it can target you at any time. But I think in the midst of that, it's really knowing that you aren't alone. You need to know that there are people around you, and to place yourself in a community, I think, is really important.
Singleness can often be seen as kind of just this holding pattern, this waiting time until that glorious state of marriage comes upon us. That needs to be explored as well, too. There are many people, we need to make this very, very clear right from the word go, there are many people living a very contented life as a single person.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think we should ever assume couples or singles that all single people want to be married. And you absolutely can live a life that is content in the singles world. I mean, I know quite a lot of married couples that envy the lifestyles of singles because they're just a lot more freer to go off and do things. And so I think you definitely can live as a single person a very content life, a very full life. If you look, I guess, if we compare ourselves to the Bible, even people in the world that have been incredibly successful, a lot of them are single people.
Yeah.
There is definitely an opportunity. I think opportunities come your way as single people. Purpose, I think purpose is probably the key thing, that your life has purpose regardless of your marital status. And finding that in God, I think, is probably one of the key things.
Mm.
God is very much part of giving you a focus for what you're meant to be doing in your life.
This is Open House, and we're speaking to Sandra Cavallo. She's a pastor at Bayside Church in Melbourne. We're talking about this this topic of singleness. This is the beginning of a series we're going to be doing, exploring this notion of how to be content as a single person. And yes, indeed, later on in the series, we're going to be looking at some tips on how to find a partner as well, if that's what you choose to do. What would you say, before we move on to some tips on how to be content as a single person, what would you say really are the advantages of this season of life? For some people, it will only be a season until somebody special comes along. For others, it will be their life. What are the advantages, if you were to bring them down to a handful, of actually being a single person?
I think time, time and resource and money. I think you can choose to do whatever you like in your single season. Whereas in one way it's a little bit dangerous because you're not really accountable to anyone unless you place yourself in a position of being accountable. So you can do whatever you want in this time. You can travel. You can do a missions trip. You can study. You can really heavily pursue your career if that's what you would like to do. I think the choices are numerous for single people. So I think, it's all about looking at what is it that you want to achieve in your life, regardless of whether you're married or not, and wholeheartedly going for it.
Mm. Okay, let's explore a couple of scenarios and then work out what people can do in those situations and how they can move forward to be content in that situation. I'm thinking in particular, say, the single guest at the married person's dinner. When you're the single one, you're the only single one, and all the other people are married couples, what can the contented single person learn to do, first and foremost, in that kind of scenario?
Look, I think it's learning not to be envious and not always thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. I think every stage has its challenges, and I haven't been married, but by speaking to people who are married, I do think we tend to have a little bit of the grass is greener perspective. So I think it's about just being at peace with where you're at and having trust that that everything is good in your world, and just not getting down on yourself in that kind of environment. If I was in a situation where it was all couples, then remembering that every one of those people are still just people, and regardless of whether they're married or not, and just listening to them. And I know I've championed certain things in other people's lives that I wish I had for myself, and I think that's really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if a couple that I know really wanting a child, and they've been waiting and waiting for ages to conceive this child, and then finally they do, just really celebrating that. I think that's a healthy way to be, rather than, this is really painful, I'm going to remove myself from it.
Yes, okay. Well, let's go to the other end of the spectrum then. Let's talk about the single person who's isolated. They don't get invited to even to the married people's dinners anymore because everybody's paired up, and it's very easy for a couple to have dinner with another couple because they've got something in common.
Yeah.
Where does a single person go when they're actually feeling isolated like that, not invited into the broader realm of things because they're getting on in age and most of the other people around them have actually moved on to a different life stage?
I think you need to start it for yourself. I think you don't wait for other people to invite you. I think you get on the phone and look around you and say, okay, who's single? Who can I get together for maybe a dinner party at my house? Initiation, I think, is key. And not just sitting back and just waiting for someone to invite you. I think that can leave you really powerless and make you feel even more depressed. But, just organising different events, social events. I know a number of singles who've done that where they were really miserable with their single life and complaining about it. And, just pretty much, well, let's do something about it. Let's get other people, not necessarily for a dating arrangement, but just let's get other people together and let's go to the movies or let's go out to dinner. Let's go to an art gallery. And just initiate.
That actually means you've got to pick up a whole set of new skills, really, doesn't it? Because it's no longer that you're, say, cooking lunch or cooking dinner for just you, a friend, maybe three friends. You might actually have to pick up some broader skills on cooking for a wider group.
Yeah, but you can make it easy.
Yeah.
Everyone can bring a dish, I think. You know, you don't have to put that much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Or you can just go out. It does require some skills. It takes some boldness. And some confidence, and if you lack in that area, well, then that can be quite challenging, but it's just taking, you know, baby steps, I think.
Yes, that's a very, very good point. Okay, the single person in the family-oriented church, what do you think that they can do when, you know, we often in our churches do focus so much on, you know, we have Mother's Day events and, we're family, we've got a creche, we've, you know, big events, maybe our church even has a mission statement to reach families in our area.
Yeah. Well, look, that's I think we need to celebrate those who are singles, and I think it does come from, I guess, the pastoral oversight of a church. Often, for example, in our church, our senior pastor will often talk to singles, so he's not just addressing families, he's also addressing singles, mm-hmm. and having been single for, you know, some time himself, he can relate to it. I think families need to be on the lookout for singles. I do think that families and couples tend to, as you mentioned before, just get together.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word of God really says, you know, that He sets the solitary in family. So it's looking out for those who are alone, and we need to do that regardless. You know, for anyone who may be feeling a little alone, you know, in a church environment.
Yeah. This is Open House across the nation. Singleness is what we're talking about for the next few weeks. We're going to be exploring this notion, theopenhouse.net.au. For the podcast, Sandra Cavallo is a pastor at Bayside Church in Melbourne and columnist for Singleness, or Singles columnist, I guess, for a Christian Women magazine. Okay, each of us have met, and maybe, let's be honest, we've even been this person in the past, perhaps. The single person who just now feels a little bit awkward, and in fact, other people feel a little bit awkward around them because they've been isolated and maybe have lost certain relational qualities. I need to address this because we know of those people who just, they're kind of difficult to have around. Now, let's just assume we are one of those people.
Mm.
How do we reintegrate back into society? How do we be a relatable person again?
Well, if I was that person and I knew that about myself, that I'm a little bit awkward and people don't seem to gel with me, I would find someone that I feel comfortable with, and be that a pastor or a leader in a church, someone they feel they can trust, talk openly, and just to ask for their advice as to what to do and get some honest feedback as to how to integrate and how to be a little bit more... I don't know, easygoing, I guess, or being able to connect. I think, you know, I would assume in a church that people, even for those ones a little bit awkward, that people would still reach out and make people feel integrated and accepted and included. So, you know, there's always people who, I guess, a little bit on the fringe, a little bit quirky. It's all, I guess it's always looking at how can I move forward rather than go back.
Something that you mentioned in our conversation that we had during the week, which was really interesting, you mentioned something along the lines of what you feel about this topic of singleness within, in your mind, in your heart, will actually reflect on the outside as to how you behave. I thought that was very interesting. Explore that a little bit with me.
Yeah, sure. Look, I think if you are completely feeling hopeless about being single, if your desire is to be married, for example, if I feel like, oh my goodness, there's never going to be someone and I've got to do something about it and get really urgent on the matter, that can manifest itself in, you know, looking a little bit desperate. You're just always hanging around people that are single, you're leeching onto them, or it can come out in a variety of different ways. I think if you are content within yourself and content about your status, then that will also reflect on the outside. So I very much think how you're thinking will come out of your mouth and the way what you're speaking, and we'll send off vibes to other people. I would rather people go, well, my goodness, why on earth is she single, rather than, I know why that person is single.
Yeah, that's such a good point. There's so many times when my wife and I actually mention about a single friend that we know and go, why on earth, exactly what you've said there, why on earth is she single, why on earth is he single?
Mm.
It's actually a good thing to say.
Yeah, and obviously that person's reflecting something that is attractive, and it's developing those qualities in yourself that you would want in a person. you develop them for yourself.
Okay, well, that's actually kind of coming back to where we started on, with this notion that singleness, for however long the season lasts, is actually an opportunity to wrestle with some things and to develop ourselves, not to be self-focused, but, you know, to actually, you know, work on ourselves in so many ways. What are the qualities of being attractive? What are the qualities?
Look, it's interesting that question, Sheridan, because a little while ago I actually did a blog on this, and I just simply wrote a topic, what makes, you know, a person attractive. And it was quite interesting to see all the different responses I got from people. And, you know, a lot of guys focus on the physical aspects of a person. Other people commented on, you know, their inner beauty. One thing that really stood out to me in being attractive, because I do think it's in the eye of the beholder, it really all depends upon what you desire. And, for example, for myself, I'm very much, you know, love to see someone who's passionate and excited for God and wants to serve God. And so for myself, that's really high on my list. So I want to make sure that's in my personal life and I'm reflecting that. So I think it's about looking at, okay, well, what are the qualities that I really find attractive in a person, writing them down and then thinking, okay, well, do I actually reflect those qualities?
There is nothing more attractive than godliness, you know. No matter what you look like on the outside, I mean, a godly person just draws you. I remember a very young, hip youth pastor in a church once getting up and actually saying to the guys, hey guys, look, if you want to get the chicks, be godly.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's very, very true, no matter what, which gender you're talking about. Absolutely. Sandra, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for starting this new series off for us.
Thank you, Sheridan.
Sandra Cavallo, who is a pastor at Melbourne's Bayside Church, columnist for Christian Woman magazine, theopenhouse.net.au. If you want to have a little bit of a natter about that, happy to take your call now too, 1300 40 2020. We're launching this singleness series and we're going to be exploring finding a partner. But before we go there, we just wanted to build this sense of being a contented person first. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of those strategies, also about celibacy, about single parenting, about being single again. So I hope you can stay with us for the full series.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.